go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our fourth segment involving a peculiar and very troubling, well, I think, miscarriage of justice. We've been talking with Bill Matthews about the run-up to a trial in which four of his colleagues at Blackwater were prosecuted, one might say persecuted, by the United States government, clearly with enormous pressure from our so-called Iraqi allies, to get a conviction of these four individuals for what they did to try to protect an American VIP and others of their colleagues who were guarding him in Nisour Square in Iraq in September 2007. And pick up the tale, Bill, with Judge Royce Lamberth presiding at the second trial. Remind us about his background. I've mentioned that he was a pretty distinguished jurist, but early in his career, there was a formative moment, apparently, that seems to have carried forward into this trial. Talk about that.
So apparently, Judge Lamberth, and who I don't really know anything about his career other than this one particular case, but he had been an Army JAG officer and had been part of the prosecution of the individuals involved in the My Lai massacre in Vietnam. And it's always been our belief after watching the judge and some of his rulings that there's a prejudice against these guys that doesn't seem to follow the facts. And we have always questioned and wondered if there isn't a deep-seated and longstanding issue that was created in that, you know, prosecution back in the, I think it was in the early 70s. I guess you don't know that for sure, but it's certainly one of those questions that you ask when you're watching some of the rulings that don't make sense.
Whether it did or whether it didn't influence him, there are a whole series of rulings or judgments that he handed down in the course of this trial. And I'd like to just ask you to sort of walk us through it. Basically, the government threw the book at these guys. They are, you know, on trial basically for their lives. In one case, the government was seeking a life sentence, as I understand it. In other cases, 30-year sentences for individuals who, lest we forget, were there to protect Americans and conducted themselves, it seems, reasonably in very difficult circumstances. Nonetheless, in the course of the trial, there were some seriously, well, the term that comes to mind is Kafkaesque elements to it, Bill. Give us some flavor of those, if you would.
Certainly. The first and probably the most egregious legal issue that we've always been upset about is the use of the statute to convict the individuals that received the 30-year sentence. The sentence was later struck down by the Court of Appeals as being cruel and unusual punishment. But it's a statute that was created to punish drug dealers and the gangster element in the United States who got their hands on fully automatic weapons. Jeff Sessions himself is part of the legislative record and history as this statute was being debated. And there was even a discussion about whether or not it would apply to, you know, somebody who is a law enforcement officer. And clearly, even Mr. Sessions agreed that that was not the appropriate use of that statute. Well, the statute that's clearly aimed at one, the gangster or the criminal element in the United States, is now being applied to government contractors who are acting on behest of the United States government under a government contract, whose automatic weapons actually come from the United States government, and they're required to use them.
Yeah, just for the furtherance of the jobs that they were hired to do. I mean, this is unbelievable. And then there's another piece of this, which is the Military Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Act. Tell us about that and how it got to be employed in this case, I mean, in order to have any ability to prosecute at all.
The only way that the civilian courts in the United States can exercise jurisdiction over the contractors is to do it under the auspices of the Military Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Act, or MEJA. However, MEJA is very clear in stating that the only individuals subject to jurisdiction are those who are directly serving the Department of Defense. Our guys were actually serving the Department of State, were under contract with the Department of State. And even despite that and the clarity of the issue, Judge Lambert just kind of looked exactly past it and even made some didn't even rule on the motions to dismiss that were filed on that basis. He just sort of ignored those motions and went straight to trial.
So there's one miscarriage of justice on top of the automatic weapons business. You also had, it seemed, evidence withheld. And let's name the names of the individuals involved here, because these men are veterans of our country's military. They're patriots. They were serving in harm's way, and they deserve acknowledgement by us, having found themselves now in this jeopardy. Nick Slatin is the man who was charged with first-degree murder of the driver, I guess, of the Kia. Dan Liberty, Dustin Hurd, and Paul Slough. Have I got that right?
Slough, yes. And those are the four individuals. And they were all military veterans and all never had been in trouble with the law ever. You know, they were fine, upstanding citizens who did their best to do their jobs in a war zone and came home to a 30-year prison sentence despite that.
Yeah, in one case, a life sentence to boot. So in addition to evidence being withheld in the course of the trial, and again, Judge Lambert not seeing that as a problem, there's also something called a giglio violation. Tell us what that's about, Barrister.
There are protections that criminal defendants have, and the Brady violation is probably the most egregious. There's several Brady violations, and I'll get to the other one in a second. But the Brady violation requires the government to provide exculpatory evidence to the defendant as soon as they have that evidence. And I bring this one up, I kind of sidestep the one you asked about because the other one is far more egregious. The Brady violation that was perhaps most egregious was the fact that the Department of Justice actually had photographic evidence that the Iraqis had fired upon our convoy. They actually had photographs of spent AK-47 rounds on the ground in the area that our security guards had said they'd been receiving fire from. And they, of course, the government's contention all along was that we were never fired upon. And this was just, you know, our guys had run amok, which, you know, they never, ever had done anything like that. They'd never just run amok in the past.
These are seasoned professionals, and this would have been very uncharacteristic of them. Okay. And then just finally, the business about eyewitnesses' testimony changing. I mean, that's also a serious miscarriage, is it not?
One of the key witnesses, Mr. Monum, had provided a victim impact statement, which directly contradicted almost every element of his testimony. And this statement was not disclosed to the defense as required, and it was intentionally buried. And the judge not only didn't rule. Now, let me go back to the photograph for just a second, because that photograph was not given to our guys until probably hours before the end of the trial. Of course, it was of the second trial. It was a huge piece of evidence, and they held it, and I think deliberately held it till the very end of the trial, so they could say that they gave it to us during the trial, but they didn't allow us to provide any defense based on that photographic evidence. Also, the statement that the witness had given, which contradicted his testimony, had not been given to us. So we weren't able to, you know, tease out whether what the credibility of this witness was.
In short, what seems to have happened here was that there was a political trial, a show trial almost, of these four Blackwater personnel, and that in important respects, it was really a miscarriage of justice. And when we come right back, we're going to finish our conversation with Bill Matthews by talking about what the appellate court in the District of Columbia found and what is the latest development on this travesty. That and more.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.